bullying, harassment, intimidation, discrimination, assault and rape. The Independent Review of the Defence Forces lays out a catalogue of abuse over many decades, and it says many of the issues continue to the present day. The report's authors say they encountered notions about gender among officers that dated from the last century or even the one before that. And they say that while most of the abuse was carried out by men, some female officers were also involved. There's now to be a full statutory inquiry into the Defence Forces. Now, in a moment, we'll be speaking to Nolene Blackwell of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. But first, we can hear some extracts from the report. Instances of sexual harassment within the Defence Forces were reported by many interviewees.
As part of this review, stark experiences of sexual harassment were shared, which were highlighted throughout numerous reports and through those who participated in this review. By virtue of the career that they've chosen and the training that they've received, members of the Defence Forces are deemed to be fairly resilient and robust. Nonetheless, it is the belief of the females who've participated in this review that most, if not all, women members have experienced some type of incident in the form of sexual harassment or sexual assault, especially on overseas missions.
The report's authors also heard many other allegations of sexual misconduct, including rape.
Interviewees reported sexual assaults taking place in barracks, mess, naval boats, swimming areas, shower facilities, and abroad on tours. Advice is given to female members of the Defence Forces to maintain two locks on their cabin or bedroom doors if there has been an attempt to assault or forcibly enter their sleeping quarters in the past. Interviewees reported barricading of quarters to prevent sexual assault. Interviewees reported grooming of younger recruits by senior officers. Interviewees reported repeated and regular incidents of drinks, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic, being spiked by various drugs. Interviewees reported predatory behaviour targeting females in situations where alcohol is present. Interviewees reported the prevention of members being informed pre-tour about the availability of rape kits because, quote-unquote, it creates victims. Interviewees reported incidents of compromising intimate images of female members being taken by surreptitious means, i.e. hidden cameras in showers and bathrooms, or pictures taken when female members were inebriated and unable to provide informed consent.
Nolene Blackwell, the Chief Executive of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, is with us in studio this morning. It's hard to know where to start, but more than 20 years since these issues were first raised by Tom Clonan in that report he did at the time. Are you shocked that the sort of behaviour detailed in this report was allowed to continue?
Yes, shocked, of course. I think we're all shocked as a people. Surprised, not so much, because we certainly have been hearing, as you say, now Senator Tom Clonan has not only done his thesis on this 20 years ago, but he has continued to speak about it. And there have been other interventions since as well. I think what has crystallised now is a public care. There's some sort of care in the public mind, thanks to Katie Hannan and her Women of Honour documentary a year ago, but also thanks to, I think, this report, which is, we got the extracts of it there. It is really straight talking. Every word is understandable. It's 100 pages long, and every single chapter needs careful reading to show the level at which they again and again say that people serving in our defence forces, particularly women, were serving in workplaces that were totally unacceptable and unsafe. We had people who were giving sterling service for this state at home and abroad, and who were working in workplaces that were systematically unsafe. Because what this report shows, it was worth doing this report because it took a year, and Judge Brona O'Hanlon led the team of experts that looked at systemic aspects of the Defence Forces. put it all together and identified not just that there was a problem, but that it needed addressing at several levels. Not only are they talking about a statutory inquiry, which has been kind of on the cards for the past year, but a complaint system which was devised in the 1950s and has no, now may have had tweaks, but it has no place in a modern day life. A culture of total disrespect and abuse, and not only of women and men as well, but mainly of women, and something which can no longer be denied. So I think maybe what has changed is that government focus, setting up that group, funding it, letting it do its report and accepting recommendations.
Well, let's hope it does make a difference, because clearly there's huge scope there for change. One of the issues that comes across is that people were scared to report.
Yes.
They were scared to report what was happening to them, including the fact that they were scared to report actual crimes for fear that they were victimised or that their complaint was just ignored. Does that disturb you?
Yeah, it is. If you take any workplace, though, you will see in any workplace that people are very slow to report sexual harassment because of the consequences, because they disrupt the workplace and because people may damage themselves and they may disrupt the community.
They don't want to be seen as a whinger or a malcontent or whatever.
Now, multiply that by 100 and we have what was happening in the Defence Forces. While this report is not investigating individual complaints, it's looking at the whole system. And according to it, it heard too many reports of reprisals, real reprisals, people being made to do what they call the dirty work, people being set aside, people being told that they had to suppress the complaint. And in an organisation which depends on people obeying orders, people felt they had to do what that was. So people who took complaints through needed extraordinary stamina. That should not be, that's a breach of every single right that a person has as a human being. And if that is the case, if it's as it goes through, this cannot be the case. In most places now, sexual harassment is still a problem. We would say that in Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, we would say that in general, that there still aren't good enough systems. But compared to other places, the army had the full defence forces did not have structures in place, and the reprisals were serious and often drove people out of the defence forces.
Many of the incidents recounted in this report involve criminal behaviour. Yes. Is there a role here for the guards?
Yes, there is, of course, a role for the guards. And again, the report is recommending change in the legislation to ensure that people can go to the guards. But to remind us again that the guards are going to conduct a criminal investigation to take a case into court. In the case of sexual assault, in the case of physical assault, people may not be prepared to go through that particular system. So first of all, the behaviour has to stop. And I think what's good about this report is it says action has to be taken on a number of fronts. Yes, set up your statutory inquiry, but also fix the complaints process so that that is acceptable. You know, people can be supported to go to the guards in the correct situation, but we cannot have a part of our, we cannot have a core state institution that is not amenable to justice and that the guards are not involved.
This report will bring back bad memories for many people. Are the resources there to help and support them?
Well, that's, I suppose, the million-dollar question, or how many euros is this going to cost? This is an important report and can be really seminal in changing for the better our defence forces, provided it is implemented and provided the resources are available for it. That will only become clear, I presume, over time as we see where the resources are going in to the various aspects, the various recommendations that are needed. Some of them can actually be implemented quite quickly. And whatever about past abuses, the ones that can be implemented now can be useful for people who are currently serving and people who will serve in the future.
But I'm just wondering about somebody listening to us this morning. Or somebody reading a report online this morning for whom this brings back really bad memories, either of their time in the Defence Forces or of their time in another workplace.
Absolutely.
Is the support there for them?
Yes, so there are supports available there. For instance, I would say at the National 24-Hour Helpline, which we run at 1800 77 88 88, we'll hear about, we'll support people who have instances of sexual abuse or sexual harassment in any way whatsoever. There are other supports available as well. In fact, the Defence Forces have set up special resources in relation to this. There's a separate helpline. So just to say that that's available, and they'll be able to see the details online, I expect, this morning. But the truth is that...
Is there a danger, though? Sorry to cut across you there.
Rachel.
Just as you mentioned that, is there a danger, given everything that has happened, that people may not trust an initiative set up by the Defence Forces?
That's absolutely the case. And the word trust comes up in the report, or lack of trust comes up in the report again and again. But actually, an initiative that After Women of Honour last year that the Defence Forces took to set up an independent helpline, confidential helpline, turns out to have been very useful, and useful to the report writers as well, because they were able to get information from that that people would not necessarily want to give to the Defence Forces.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.